Hey everyone, this is Keith Urban hanging out with my mate Mikey right here on the Random 30. I spent all my money drinking on my own, yeah. Mikey.
Hey Keith, Mikey, how are you, man?
Hey, I'm well. How are you doing?
Yeah, really, really good, man. Really good. Are you in Sydney or are you over in Nashville?
No, I'm in Sydney.
Yeah, nice. Nice, man. Nice to be home. Yeah.
Very nice. Where are you at?
Sunny Coast. Your backyard.
Yes. Whereabouts on the Sunshine Coast are you?
So I do the show in Maroochydore.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so Maroochydore and, yeah, live in Caloundra. Beautiful place.
Yep. That's it. That's the place right there.
Yeah, it's so good, man. Hey, thanks for chatting around with us, man.
Oh, no worries. Thanks for supporting the song.
Oh, mate, I got to tell you something in a sec. How are you going, though? I mean, through 2020, how are you, Nick and the fam? Are they all good? All well?
Everybody's good, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we're lucky that Nick can shoot a film here. She's been in Byron and Byron Bay, and the film's going really well.
Nice one, man. Let's just not muck around. Let's talk about this song. I have said this already on air when we've played this song. This is the song of 2020. And I had to share that with you because this is huge. This is incredible, mate. Tell us the story. How did this come together? Did you go to Pink or Pink go to you?
Yeah, I reached out to her. The song was written as a duet, and she really is the first voice I heard in my head. And so I got a hold of her and sent the song, and she hit me back that she just loved it right away. And that would have been probably February of this year.
Right.
And then, of course, COVID hit. Yeah. And just everything went quiet for a good while. It felt like March, April, May, and I think it wasn't until about June or so when she was able to finally get her voice on the song. So it's been sitting around for a long time waiting for it to get completed. And but the first time I got to hear her sing on it was just unbelievable.
That moment there when you first heard her to sing on it, because you wrote this song, didn't you?
Some friends of mine wrote it and they sent it to me.
Right.
And then I worked on the track and, you know, did my vocal. Actually, one of the girls who's one of the writers on the song, a girl named Cleo Teague, she was singing on the song, so for the longest time, the version I had was me and this girl Cleo singing on the song until I could find the right person. I didn't know Pink, so I didn't immediately send it to her when I got the song.
Wow.
But through a mutual friend, I was able to figure out how to get it to her. And, of course, then, she had to do her vocals remotely out in California, and she sent me the files of her singing. And I have a studio at the house, so I put it all together at the house. But the first day I got to hit play and hear her come through the speakers on that song was just amazing.
It is an incredible song. I mean, she's an incredible singer. I mean, even when she comes to Australia, she just calls it home for a few months, really. But to have that moment for you as well, where in your career is that moment with Pink? Like, because you've done some incredible things, and to have an artist like Pink on one of your songs, is that quite high for you?
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've been a fan of hers since the very beginning.
Yeah.
Really. She's just one of the great singers. And you're right, she's become a fellow Aussie for sure. And, I always hoped, I for some reason in the back of my mind, I always thought I'm going to land a song one day that I reckon will be great for her.
Yeah.
And one too many was it. You know, I was just stoked that she loved it as much as I hoped she would.
Wow. And this is from your 11th studio album, The Speed of Now, Part 1. I'm thinking there's going to be a Part 2?
Definitely.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm not sure when. Yeah. I mean, I probably recorded 25, 30 songs for this album and had to whittle it down to 13, 14 tracks.
Yeah.
And that's why Part 2 seemed obvious, you know, when I was trying to figure out what songs go on this record and which ones get pushed off to the side. And I wanted those songs to be heard, so that's why Part 2 will come about at some point.
And with this album too, this is your, if I've got this right, this is your fourth number one album on ARIA charts? Is that?
Yeah.
I mean, is it hard to hear that, or is it like, yeah, I got this? Like, how do you take that?
It's amazing. I mean, honestly, you know, you make a record and you Oh, you know, for me, look, at the end of the day, I never know how people are going to react to anything that we make. So I put this record together. Probably took me the better part of a year and a half, almost 2 years, working on it, all over the place, you know, flying around. The thing that really was strange was I had probably 3/4 of the album done right around when COVID hit in March, and I was trying to figure out how to finish the rest of the album. But I ended up utilizing that time and writing songs, a song called Out the Cage, which opens the record. It wasn't just written during that time. It was written because of that time. And a lot of the songs took on some themes of what was going on everywhere. Another track called Say Something was written during that period. So it ended up being a really, really strong, prolific period to finish the album out, really.
Because you record a lot in Nashville, don't you?
I have a studio at my house, and so I do a lot of work there. I just ended up having to do more work there than I've ever done ever.
Yeah,
but it was, you know, it's great to have a studio there.
And the time that we've had in 2020 for you as an artist, have you taken it that you can kind of relax a little bit? I mean, it sucks that you can't tour and do all that stuff, but have you taken it that okay, what's my plans now for the future in my music? Have you taken this time to think about that?
Well, yes, and yeah, I mean, I think we're all going to be back touring at some point.
Yeah.
It's not something never going to happen again. I think just the way in which it's going to start will be probably small, and then it will slowly build, a little bit like what you're saying with football and the sporting event. You know, it before you know it, at some point, the stands will be completely full, probably next weekend.
That'll be good.
But I'd like to see the live entertainment scene be given the same kind of confidence that sporting events have been given, quite frankly. It'd be great to see that. If they can do it there, surely we can do it too.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I totally agree. And it's so important at the moment too that, you know, fans of your music, you can't tour at the moment, but it's so important that we get behind our artists by buying their music and buying their albums and buying their merch, you know, because we've all got to help each other to get through the time that we're in at the moment.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, there's so many people in need all over the world.
Absolutely.
Right here in all walks of life. So we're doing everything we can too. We actually did a drive-in concert earlier this year for all the healthcare workers. And we've been,
yes, you did.
We took part in the One World Global Citizen event too. So we've been using this time as well to help as many people as we can.
Yeah, such a great thing. Not only in your album you worked with Pink, I want to talk about working with the legend Nile Rodgers. What was it like working with him?
Fantastic. I met him back in 2015. And
yeah.
We wrote a few songs, one of which ended up on an album I did back then called Ripcord. The song was called Sun Don't Let Me Down. So we just hit it off, and we've stayed friends over the years. He's come and sat in a couple of shows with us, and I've played a few of his festivals. And when I was writing Out the Cage with this young artist called Breland, we were most of the way through the song, and I said, you know who would kill this is Nile.
Yeah.
He would just love this song. So I called him up. He was at home in Connecticut where he lives, of course, you know, and he's not out on the road. And I just said, man, I've got this song, and I think you'll love it. So I sent it up to him, and he called me back literally within minutes. He's like, bro, this song, man, is crazy good, you know. So he put some Craig guitar on it, sent it back to me, and I pieced it all together in my studio.
How good is that? how do you think your music, though? I mean, you've been in the scene for a long time now. How do you think your music has changed in, say, the last 10 years, the way you maybe write or maybe the way that you tell a story? Do you think, has it changed much?
I think it's just been slowly evolving all the time. And, I think what's happened is, you know, there was a time, I think, when when I would make records because it was about getting on radio. And so you would make a certain kind of record to get on radio, you know. And then you would go out and play live, and it would be way wilder and diverse and really free of genre. You know, playing live was just about all the influences I've had over the years. Because I grew up playing all the pubs and clubs in Queensland, so all that stuff would come out when we'd play live. But then you get into the studio and it would be all a bit more narrow. You know, you'd sort of try and just rein it in a bit. And I think the only thing that's changed is there's less distinction between the live wild diversity and what goes on in the studio. I think the studio records have started to widen out now and become more like they are live.
So good, man. So good. We are certainly getting behind the new single, One Too Many. It is epic. And I think it is the song of 2020. It is so, so awesome. Mate, Keith Urban, thanks so much for hanging out with us on the show. And, mate, all the best, hey?
Mate, really nice to talk to you, Mikey. And thanks for your time today, mate.